In the name of the Holy Trinity, creating, redeeming, and sustaining.
Amen.
So I found out that there's been a debate going on amongst the 930 children. I heard some conversations they had been having, and then one day it came to a head in the middle of 930 worship. And some people noticed, and some people, I was able to keep it a little bit at bay, but they did open it up. So two of the children have been reading this book at home about Greek gods, Apollos, Ares, Kronos, Chaos, and more. And another child had remembered something they had learned at church. We believe in one God. And so the debate ensued. And in the middle of a children's homily something completely unrelated, the argument broke out, and I heard, "Reverend Allison, I have a book about gods." And the other child said, but, isn't there just one God?" And the other adults in the room, the ones that noticed, were riveted. And I could imagine them thinking, well, how's she going to handle this one? When Abraham walked the face of the earth, it was a world of many gods. Abraham brought with him a new kind of faith, a different kind of faith. As the former canon to the presiding bishop, Chuck Robertson, puts it, one God who could no more be carved in stone or cast in metal than the sun be bottled up in some portable container. This was indeed novel in a world where deities of all types abounded in great mystical pantheons, deities more often than not at odds with one another. One God, Abraham declared. One God, Moses proclaimed. One God, Isaiah announced, who was holy, holy, holy beyond all human attempts to package and control. And then along came the Christians. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What's this? Still a unity of being, but also a trinity of persons? The concept was confusing to those who had dispensed with multiple deities, who had embraced the notion of one God, who wanted to keep things plain and simple. Why complicate things? And what does it mean anyway? So throughout the centuries, many scholars of the church have tried to explain the conundrum. It is like the sun, one said, which we experience as a ball of energy we see in the sky, but also as beams of light that stream down upon us, and still again as the emanating heat that warms us. And explanations like this make kind of sense, but why does it matter? As a child, I heard about the Christian belief in the Trinity. But many of the adults in my life lived as though they had more of a deist understanding of God, this one God that created and then backed off. God does not really interact with that subsequently created world. As a young adult, I wound up not really sure about God or the nature of God, but I was interested in God, and I believed that if God was real and true, then God would not be distant. God would be found in intimate interaction with us, not always far away and beyond us. And I discovered others who had found God, an ultimate reality, in the hope of people living together intentionally with one another in different forms of community. Truth was found in relationship. I was a philosophy major, and a group of friends and I spent a spring term, an entire month in college, visiting various communities, most of them religious. Monasteries with devoted monks, an Amish farm with families and children, even a hippie commune with generations of people who had stayed committed to intentional community long after it was popular in the 1960s. And what I saw with my friends were people who believed in God and the power of relationship. And they devoted their lives to their relationships with one another. And it was during the same time in my philosophy classes that I started to explore the nature of reality. It was in a conversation about metaphysics that led a group of us philosophers to declare that we believed in the mystery of the oneness of reality. We learned about dualism, a division of the world into two different aspects, humanity and nature, good and evil, matter and mind, God and the world. And we learned about its counterpart, monism, that everything is derived from a unified one. So my friends and I became the self-proclaimed mystic monists, declaring that only one supreme being could exist, and that supreme being or God animated all that exists. All of this came from our experience in and with communities of people who also experienced this to be true. And I started to understand in my own personal life a God who was beyond all things and in all things. That God was active within me and around me and among the people with whom I lived and interacted. And finding like-minded people made me excited about belief in God and the world of religion in a way that I never had been before. It was a few years later in a classroom in seminary, learning about theology, that our professor distilled hundreds of pages of Trinitarian theology by St. Augustine down to this. The Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, expresses the reality of one God that exists only as one by its relationships. God is God, utterly in relationship with God's self. It was revelatory to me. And then I discovered Genesis chapter 1 anew. I've shown some of you these revelatory words that no one notices in the creation story in Genesis unless someone points them out. When God made humankind, God said, "Let us make humankind in our image." The one God says, "Let us," plural, "make humankind in our image." Yes, it's really written like that. You can look it up. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. This is the one God who has been utterly in relationship from the beginning and who has created us in the image of relationship. Professor Thomas Long says, "The doctrine of the Trinity was not dreamed up in a theological think tank, but was articulated by actual worshiping and serving Christians who, under stress and in the face of questions and challenges, were sweating it out to say with clarity just why they were willing to live a life that looked foolish to others. Caring for widows and orphans, suffering persecution, and laying down their life for their friends. All of it for the wild notion that the Spirit had gathered them into the one life of the God who in Christ was making peace with the world." A 12th century scholar, Richard of St. Vincent, reflected on this and spoke of God in terms of shared love, a community in which that love is expansive and generous. It is love that cannot be self-contained. It overflows from parent to child to spirit and back again. The love of God, the love that is God, is like a divine dance, a dynamic and deeply intimate movement. In this movement, the God who is I am is not alone, never alone. For the very essence of God is relationship. This is far different than the mythical deities of old who were always fighting with one another, rivals and annoyances of one another. No, what we see in the Trinity is a dance of persons who are mutually affirming, mutually caring. For the very essence of God is relationship, community, unconditional love. Now, all of this might sound good, but what does it look like when it's actually experienced? Chuck Robertson helps us to understand. He tells a story. He says, years ago, I was walking through the grounds of Emory University in Atlanta when from a distance I saw Desmond Tutu, Nobel laureate and Archbishop Emeritus of South Africa. He was guest teaching there at the time and accompanied by a large handler. Eager to meet this legendary figure, I ran up, only to be immediately put off by his companion. "The bishop is busy," I was told. Turning away and feeling like little more than chopped liver, I suddenly heard a small but powerful voice say, "Come, come." As I approached him, Bishop Tutu smiled and said, "Tell me your name." I did. And he responded, "And tell me about yourself." For the next 10 minutes, I received his full and complete attention. For that time, I was someone of infinite value. As I turned to leave, the bishop looked me in the eye and quietly said, "I will remember you, Chuck Robertson." Not chopped liver, no, beloved. God's beloved. This is what life looks like in the presence of a triune God. This is what God looks like, who's active in our midst, reminding us that we are beloved. And this is what we celebrate on the day we call Trinity Sunday. This is the God who created the universe, who redeemed the world, and who is closer than our nearest breath. You are beloved and invited to a beloved community at Calvary that makes the one God in utter relationship come alive. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, creating, redeeming, and sustaining. Amen.